Welcome to the Advisor Pact monthly session. I'm Mark Little. Today, we're going to go through some interesting exercises where I'm going to go through and I'm going to go module by module through the lessons in this program. And we're going to walk through what the outcomes really should be. So you'll get a chance today to sort of envision whether you are experiencing the business that you want or whether you're moving towards the business that you envisioned or not. And at the end, I'll show you what to do if you're not. So we're going to go specifically through what the outcomes should be for each and every module in this course. So this is the monthly Advisor Pact session. Each month we address questions that you've got. If you're live on this session and you've got questions that you've brought with you, well, this is your chance. This is your chance for live coaching. This is the part of the program where if you've got questions that you've encountered by implementing the programs in this course, or frankly, if you have any questions related to the financial services business at all, this is your coaching corner. This is your Q&A session where you can drop in and ask those questions. Otherwise, I just select from the comments and questions that we've received from you, and I'll cover those. I'll cover the questions that we've received through the Contact Us link in the monthly Advisor Pact session. Let's talk for a minute about the Advisor Pact pledge and this program in particular. What are we actually trying to do here? The whole basis of the program is a very simple pledge that every one of you makes to your client. If you're in this program, you need to be contemplating making this pledge to every single client. Not all clients, but all your ideal clients. These are the clients that you're pledging to deliver your best work, that the work of you and your team. And the Advisor Pact Pledge is a very simple concept. We did a substantial amount of research from the year 2002 until the year 2008. And the data that we gathered interviewing successful, affluent potential clients, just going straight to the horse's mouth and talking to wealthy people, we gained a tremendous insight into what it is that clients want from their relationship with an advisor like you. And a pattern emerged over those years in the data. There were four things that clients, they believe they cannot find in a financial advisor anywhere. And that is someone who's got their back, who will protect them. They don't believe that they can hire someone who's going to pay close enough attention to really make a difference, keep them on track. They don't believe that there's an advisor out there who's able or willing to coordinate all the financial people and all the financial elements of their life. And they don't believe that there are financial advisors out there who are fully transparent. They think there's hidden fees. There's always something. They don't know what they're paying their insurance agents. They don't know what they're paying a number of the financial people in their life. So this idea of transparency is something that is important. So that's the origin of the Advisor Pact Pledge. You agree and pledge to your clients that you'll step up and be that person in their life that will provide these four things. And if you'll do this, you immediately are on an unlevel playing field with your competitors. You are immediately in a step above. Your business model is a step above that of nearly every other financial advisor that you're competing against, because these are the four things that these are the four client expectations that if you can deliver on these four, these are the four things that clients are willing to pay the most for and don't think they can get anywhere else. So what's the goal of the program? The goal is to go through the modules. We send you a module every single month. You implement each module. They're sent to you in sequence. So over time, the goal is to deliver truly comprehensive financial services, to set up processes and procedures in your business so that you understand and can define clearly for a client what truly comprehensive financial services is and what it means and the value you're going to provide around it. but you're not going to deliver it at just any level. You're going to deliver it in a way that actually exceeds your ideal client's expectations. So, you know, trust is something that's built by consistently exceeding expectations over time. And that's the relationship that we're describing. You're building a relationship of trust. For what reason? Well, of course, exceeding expectations is a great business model because clients will never leave you. They find you indispensable in this situation because who in our lives exceed our expectations consistently? Very, very few people that we pay money to for products or services exceed our expectations. So when you find someone, and if you are that person in the client's life, you know, they'll never let go of you. So it's a great client retention tool, but more than that, the outcome that we're looking for, the outcome that we expect, the outcome that's most common for advisors implementing our system is a minimum of 5 initial client interviews per week. That's interviews with new potential clients resulting from spontaneous unsolicited client referrals. So that's it right there. The whole program boils down to this. If you implement the modules in this program at the level that you need to, at the level of mastery for each module, then you will begin receiving spontaneous unsolicited client referrals at some point. There will come a point when you are delivering a level of service that clients can't, they know they can't find elsewhere. You're delivering a level of service in a way that exceeds expectations, which that in and of itself is valuable. And over time, this is an experience that enough of your clients will want to share with the other people in their life that they care about, that you will, the way we measure success is by the annual referral rate. So we're going to be tracking in this program at some point. Matter of fact, I think it's module number 14. You'll implement the referability dashboard, and the key element of that is the annual referral rate. So by the time you get to module 14, you should begin seeing a measurable increase in unsolicited client referrals. So let's get to this month's message. So we last month, during last month's session, I responded to a question. The question was, you know, how can I see what the modules are going to be that are ahead of me? And so last month, I went through the first 12 modules, and I went module by module, and I sort of explained what they are so that you can anticipate what's coming. Well, that led to a lot of interest about the outcomes. So every month on this session, I talk about that the outcome is to deliver truly comprehensive financial services, but not at just any level, but at a level that exceeds client expectations to the point that you can measure an increase in unsolicited client referrals. Okay. So the response to going through all these modules and previewing what they are, the response to that was an interest in the outcomes. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you actually take these modules and implement them at a level that's going to ultimately someday result in a measurable increase in client referrals? Well, I'll tell you the key. The key is self-assessment. The key is not just flying through the modules when we send them to you. It's self-assessment. It's going through as you go and at the end of each module to do a self-assessment to determine the level of mastery. So how does this work? Well, it's different for different advisors. All of us learn at a different pace and in different ways. But we do have some experience with this. We have some experience in dealing with lots of advisors over in our flagship program, the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, where we deal more closely with the advisor. It's software. In the other program, we're dealing one-on-one with the advisors and their staff to implement truly comprehensive financial services. So in that program, we have a lot more interaction with advisors and their teams. And so we understand what the issues are, and we also understand we have a way, we have a method of determining and assessing mastery. And I can tell you that it takes repetition with this content to truly master it at a level if your goal is to increase client referrals. So what level of mastery have you experienced from the modules that you've received from us? Would you say that for the outcomes that are expected of the modules that you've received up till now that you've achieved a 40% mastery of the content? How about 60%? Well, I can tell you that until your mastery reaches 80% plus, it's the needle has not moved enough to really affect referrals. In other words, you're not implementing at a mastery level that's sufficiently high to achieve the results that you expect. If what you expect is the outcome that we expect from the program, which is a measurable increase in client referrals. So I can tell you that just doing these modules with advisors and their teams over in our other more expensive program, the first time through a course or a module, most advisors and their teams achieve about a 40% mastery. So what does that say? That says that repetition is the mother of mastery. And so when should you repeat a course? Well, we're going to go through the outcomes today. I'm going to do it as a timed exercise, so we'll keep going through modules until we run out of time at the top of the hour. But I can tell you that the second time you go through a course, most advisors and their teams achieve something on the order of a 60% level of mastery of the content. And then on the third and more times, like three plus times, and we have some advisors who go through a single module five and six times just to master it. It's on the third time and more that most advisors and their teams achieve an 80% mastery, the level of mastery required to make a difference. Now, does that mean that advisors and their teams go through this content in a careless way to begin with? No, I'm not going to go that far. Some do. Some go through just to kind of get an overview of the content, and they'll implement at a basic level just because they encounter resistance. The first time any of us encounters difficulty, we tend to drop what we're doing and deal with the difficulty, or we just, and maybe at the moment we don't have time, we don't have enough energy or time or anything to deal with the difficulty. So I think more likely what's happening, at least in our experience with the advisors and the other program, is they'll implement a module until they encounter some resistance. And then at that point, when there's any difficulty encountered, the implementation and the level of mastery slows down and sometimes comes to a halt. And then that's the most you're able to implement at that point. So am I saying that you should go through a course and then we give it to you for a certain amount of time, a module, and then you should immediately request it again? No, I'm suggesting go through the modules in the sequence that we give them to you, and then just be aware of, and by self-assessment, as to what level of mastery you feel like you've completed for each module. Because after you've gotten a little bit further down the line, one thing that happens by implementing in the sequence that we provide is that your overall business becomes stronger and more capable as you add team members and as you add capabilities, your overall capabilities rise. So maybe in a module, you were only able to master 40% mastery level of that content at that moment in time, but it's quite conceivable that 3 or 4 or 5 months later, as you've improved your capacity to deal with issues and your capabilities overall, it's quite possible that 2 or 3 or 4 months from now, you can go through that same module and achieve a 60 or even 80% level of mastery because you've been ramping up and improving your business along the way. So So I would say just begin self-assessing. Go through and determine at the end of each module what you feel are the level of mastery. And we're going to go through here in a minute, course by course, and I'll show you the outcomes you should be expecting from each module. So what we're going to do today is you're going to figure out specifically how to get more from each and every module that you've completed, because we're going to go through them one by one. So the point is to make sure that you're experiencing all the best outcomes from every module that you've completed. Now, as we go through them, you're going to make notes about what should have occurred after having completed a module. So that leads to some questions that we've gotten from members, and these are the types of questions that came in, you know, after we went through the preview of all the modules. So this question came in from a financial advisor, member of our system. If I'm facing a specific issue in my business and I need something right now, can I request a module out of order? In other words, I went through the first dozen modules. So it's the monthly project is what we're talking about. This is what we send you once a month. So this advisor was saying, what if I see something that I'm not going to be getting from this program for 3 or 4 or 5 months? What if I need it now? Can I request it out of order? And the answer is yes. If by us going through these modules and you see something that you're facing right now, that you need right now, then you just request it. On every page of the Advisor Pack Monthly Program, there's a contact us link. You just contact us and say, for my next module, I need XYZ, whatever the module is, and just request it. And yes, we will provide it to you. It'll be the next module that you receive. It'll pause the sequencing of the module we were going to send you, because you get basically, you know, we're not going to overwhelm you with modules. I mean, the whole point is, you know, you need to, we can all just focus on one thing at a time. I know we do a lot of things in our business, but when it comes to mastering new content, you know, the fire hose does not work. Overwhelming you with tons of stuff all at once, we have learned over the years, that does not work. So yes, you can request a different module if you know that it exists and you tell us what you're looking for. We will send that to you next month. Absolutely, you can request modules out of order, definitely. Another question is, if I'm not experiencing all the benefits and outcomes described in this assessment, can I request a module that I've already received and go through it again? So we're going to go through the outcomes that you should be experiencing. Question here is, what if I'm not? Can I get the module I've already received again? The answer is yes. You just contact us, say, I'd like to go through and name the module. I'd like to go through that one again. And we will definitely send it to you again next month. And instead of what we were going to send you, we'll send you the other one again, the earlier one again. No problem. So, question on the table is, are you experiencing all of these outcomes? Because if not, you can request and should request the module again. So, I'm going to do something that I do occasionally, and that is go over to the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. So on the toolkit, we have something called Honestly Assessing the Issues We Currently Face. And this is the page that does what we're going to go through today. It's got a little bit of content here, but I want to focus on this section right here. These are the modules. So what you're seeing here is, I believe, the first 14 modules, they line up with the toolkit. So the first 14 modules in the Advisor Pack Monthly Program, the program you're in, line up perfectly with the modules in the toolkit. So, and it was on purpose. It was by design, because we have a lot of people that wanted to see if they were ready, willing, and able to join the toolkit. There's a qualification process over there. You have to be accepted into the toolkit program. So we lined up the modules with the Advisor Pack Monthly Program just for advisors who were interested in seeing if they were ready for the toolkit. So So you're going through the same program as the advisors that are paying $1,000 a month for the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. It's just that you're doing it on your own. Okay. So we lay these modules out. And by the way, this this whole setup here with the pluses, when I hit the plus, it's going to reveal additional content. These are the outcomes that you should be experiencing from each module. I'm going to drop this in this exact same way that you see here. I'm going to drop this into the Advisor Pack Monthly program on the replay page for this session. So I will, so when the replay of this webinar goes live, you can go to the replay page. And in addition to listening to this video, all this that we're going over right here will be down below the video, and you can review it for yourself. So let's just kind of go through it. So the first module, it's a module that you'll always have access to. It never goes away. You know, what are the outcomes of this first module that we call Essential Concepts of Advisor Pact? Okay, so it kind of breaks up this way for all these modules. There are things that after you complete the module should be happening now in your business, and things that should no longer be happening, either obstacles or dysfunctions or problems or things that are no longer acceptable. So let's just go through them. It's pretty easy for the essentials. Basically, your business, after going through the essentials course, should be focused on clients. It sounds easier than it is. It's that clients always come first. Every deliverables team member understands. In other words, every member on your team, anybody working for you, anybody serving your clients, everybody serving your clients, understands that the best way of growing the business is to focus relentlessly on exceeding client expectations. In other words, we have all these other ways that we think about growing our businesses other than through, you know, viewing our existing clients as client acquisition helpers. But frankly, you know, have you stopped to consider that every client of yours knows over 200 people fairly intimately on average, and that they, you know, together, even if you just have five clients, they know more people than you could probably serve right now. So they are the best investment of your time. And so does everyone on your team understand that? Does everyone agree that working together as a team to create the extraordinary client experience is the most effective client acquisition activity? If not, then it's a leadership responsibility of yours to go back through this content and to be able to articulate that to everyone on your team. I'll tell you something else that we say quite frequently in our program, and it has to do with your leadership of your people. So even if you have an assistant, or as you go through our program, you'll be adding subject matter experts, and your team will definitely grow. But one of the mantras in our program is you cannot implement what you can't effectively explain. Maybe a better way to say that is you can only implement what you can effectively explain to other people. So this is one of these things. Can you effectively explain and persuade everyone that's working with you that the strategy is that we are going to focus on exceeding client expectations, we're going to deliver an extraordinary client experience, and by the way, that is the client acquisition methodology. That's how we're going to acquire clients. Okay, second, and why don't I just go through and highlight these as we go? We're still on these things should be happening as a result of this module. So every deliverables team member can clearly articulate the value of the Advisor Pact model. Understanding the Advisor Pact philosophy, its elements, and what makes it appealing from a client's perspective. That's clear to every team member. So can everyone on your team explain to another team member what Advisor Pact is, what it means, and how the Advisor Pact model works? If not, this is the one module that we've had advisors we've had advisors tell us that they require everyone on their team to go through this Essentials of Advisor Pact module. It's available. It never goes away. As long as you're a you know, active member of the Advisor Pack monthly program, you'll have access to this. Everybody on your team quite literally should be exposed to this module, should go through the whole thing. Okay, how about this? Is this happening in your business? Every decision by every team member flows through this filter. What's best for the client comes first, what's best for the team comes second, and what's best for the individual team members is considered last. So how many times have you had somebody on your team come up and propose something, doing something a certain way? Like as in, hey, it would be easier for me if before a meeting we printed this report, you know, 3 weeks before the meeting or whatever the proposal, it doesn't matter. The point of this Essentials module is what should be happening in your business now when that happens is you run it through this filter. Okay, does printing that report 3 weeks ahead of the meeting, is that best for the client? No. Is that best for the team? No. Is it best for the individual team member, meaning you? Yes. Okay, well, if it's not best for the client, we're not going to do it. So it is easier than it sounds, making the client always come first, but it's harder in implementation. But that is what this module is all about. Now, what should not be happening after the first module, the Essentials module? A team member is unclear about what makes our business model different and better. So if you have anybody on your team that when you go up to them and say, hey, what do you think's different or better about the way we do things versus all the other financial advisors in town? Deliverables team members who cannot clearly articulate what makes our business model superior to that of most other financial advisors need to go through this module. How about this one? No team member proposes any idea that benefits them or makes it easier for them without first confirming what's best for the client and the team. In other words, people just stop coming to you with ideas for making their life easier if it's clear that it's not better for the client. So it's what's best for the client comes first, and if it's okay for the client and it's good for the team, then and only then do your team members come and approach you. Team members place what's best for the clients and the team ahead of their own interests. So if that is not happening in your business, you need to consider having your team members go through the Essentials course. Now, the next course is Vision and Goals for Financial Advisors. This is, I'm not going to go through this because we've gone through this recently. This is the goal setting course for 2018. These are all the things, you know, right now is the time that every financial advisor should be going through the goals for 2018, setting your goals, getting your vision clear, setting specific objectives for next year. So I don't think I need to go through this with you. That's really for you as a financial advisor, and now is the time to be doing this. The annual recurring revenue exercise. So if you've gone through that module, let's go through and see what should be happening now or things that should no longer be occurring in your business after having gone through this module. So if you've gone through the annual recurring revenue module, then these are the things that should be happening in your business. I have an effective method of prioritizing who I need to interact with each and every day. The list of who I approach each day and in which order is prioritized and updated every day based on the needs of our clients and the firm. The annual recurring revenue exercise was designed as a tool to establish the daily order of approach for all clients and potential clients. The names on that prioritized list are then easily assigned to the trusted advisor or other members of the team. Okay, all this is really saying is, you know, as we approach every business day, we need to confirm the order of attack. I've got some appointments already on my calendar, and I generally have a long list of not just clients, but potential clients that I need to follow up with on various issues. So that's what this annual recurring revenue exercise is. You fly through it on a daily basis, and it's for the purpose of determining the order of attack of the day. In other words, who should I be calling and in what order? What's the priority? I need to call this person first about this. I need to call this other person about that. Some of them are clients and many of them are potential clients. I need to follow up with all these people before I leave the office today. And it's very crystal clear. You're clear. You've got a call list. I need to contact these people and in this order. And it's all prioritized based on what's best for the business. Okay, so that if that's that should be happening. If that's not happening, you should go through the annual recurring revenue exercise again. My compensation for my ideal clients is consistent and firm. The conversation I've set for my minimum annual recurring revenue is firmly established for all my ideal clients. So do you have a minimum annual recurring revenue that before? Now we're talking about ideal clients here. So do you have a minimum annual recurring revenue amount? And is it clear what that is? And if that you should, and if not, you need to go back through this module. My cost to serve my clients is crystal clear. In other words, what it costs you to serve your clients. If not, go through this module again. List all current clients and potential clients. A list of all current clients and potential clients is current for my team. In other words, my team has a current list of all clients and potential clients at any given moment. Whenever a new potential client is identified, my administrative managers and subject matter experts are aware of it right away. My team always sees the name, understands the next step in my process, and regularly shares insights they can gather about the individual's background or reputation. No potential client ever falls through the cracks or fails to move forward in my client acquisition process. So in the annual recurring revenue exercise, a big part of this exercise is just simply making sure that with potential clients, none of them fall through the cracks. No action item that moves a potential client through the client acquisition process ever falls through the cracks. If that's not happening, you need to go through this annual recurring revenue exercise again. And daily action items for every client and potential clients briefly reviewed. This is what we talked about a minute ago. So should be every day, but we recognize that your support team may not be working full-time at the moment. Some of you, you have full-time support. Some of you don't. So I would say at least several times a week, the annual recurring revenue exercise is reviewed with all action items for the day just briefly mentioned for every client, ideal client, non-ideal client, and potential client. So you kind of run your finger down the list. You've got the list of ideal clients, the list of non-ideal clients, the list of potential clients. You just run your finger down that list with your administrative manager and just make sure that every action item for today is clearly understood and mentioned. And so this right here, this is the way that nothing falls through the cracks because you've already built your to-do list for the day. This is the safety net and it really works. So what shouldn't be happening? Okay, so now you've gone through the annual recurring revenue exercise. What are the things that should no longer be occurring? Are businesses unaware of which clients bring in more revenue to the business than others? No list is available to the support team helping the support team, meaning your team. No list is available to the support team helping them understand how much revenue is expected from each client over the next 12 months. If that's happening, then you need to go through this annual recurring revenue exercise again. Only the trusted advisor knows which potential clients have more potential to the business than others. So everybody on your team should know which potential clients have more potential than others. And if that's not happening, if your team is not aware of your potential clients and which ones are more have more potential to your business, then you need to go through the annual recurring revenue exercise again. We don't maintain a single, simple, current, updated list of all clients and potential clients. If your team cannot access a current list of all current clients and potential clients, then you need to go through this module again. No question. There's a communication problem that will harm your business at some point and opportunities that you'll miss. I don't review the complete list of clients and potential clients daily as a safety net to confirm that no action item is being overlooked. This, as I said, this is the safety net. Most financial advisory firms don't have a safety net. They build their to-do lists for each member of the team in a variety of ways, but very few businesses have a safety net. And among all the other benefits of the annual recurring revenue exercise, it also serves this important function. It is the safety net to make sure that no important action item falls through the cracks. My compensation from clients is not firm. The compensation I've set for my minimum annual recurring revenue is not firmly established for every ideal client. So, in other words, if this is not a clear line of demarcation for your team so that your team can see there's a line drawn on the list and above that line are the ideal clients, and it's because it has something to do with their compensation of you. And so if that's firm, then great. If that's not firm, then you need to go through this annual recurring revenue exercise again. Client acquisition activities often don't occur due to other distractions getting in the way. So this is a common complaint or comment that I get from financial advisors. I just have too much going on in my business. There are too many distractions. I have client issues. I've got just things putting out fires or doing this and that. It seems like I cannot make the time necessary to go out and find and acquire new clients. Those activities just get kind of pushed off my schedule due to other distractions and priorities. Well, if that's the case, then you need to go through the annual recurring revenue exercise again, because this exercise helps solve that problem. It helps solve it by making the action items that need to happen for clients and potential clients, making the entire team aware of them. But you'll have to go through the entire exercise to figure out how this exercise helps with that. But suffice to say, what we're doing right now is assessing, are these things occurring? If you've been through this module, yet you still don't seem to have time and you've got other distractions getting in your way, then go through this module again and figure out how you can use the annual recurring revenue exercise to eliminate those distractions, get other people to help you out doing things that are causing these distractions. My administrative manager does not have an up-to-date list of all people related to the business. And then there's two sub-bullets there. My administrative manager does not have a list of all current potential clients. These are clients, any person who we are aware who has a potential to someday become a client. And therefore, my administrative manager could not eliminate distractions because, frankly, my administrative manager is unaware of whether any potential clients are falling through the cracks or not. There is no up-to-date list allowing an awareness on the part of the administrative support people in your business to even know that something's falling through the cracks. My administrative manager does not have a list clearly separating or delineating non-ideal clients from ideal clients. Therefore, it's not clear on which clients are more important to the firm and deserve priority. So, you know, there's only so many hours in a week. And if every client calls in with the same request simultaneously, then does your team have a list and a method of determining, you know, which clients to serve immediately and which clients to contact and beg for time? And then finally, people answering the phones in my business don't always know clients from potential clients from vendors. They don't know one from another, and they treat everybody the same. In other words, are ideal clients treated like royalty? Even if you just have someone temporarily answering the phones, a temp, does everybody answering your phones know who your best clients are and treat them that way on the phone? If not, you need to go through the annual recurring revenue exercise again. So these are the outcomes of that exercise. The next exercise, the next module, is the potential client interaction time, the PCI time module. So if you've gone through that module, these things should be occurring for you. You know the single most important leading indicator to client acquisition, and you're tracking it daily in real time. If that's not happening, then you need to request the PCI, the potential client interaction time module, again. My administrative manager, in other words, if you have an administrative support person, most of you do, some of you don't, but if you do, is your administrative manager aware of whether or not you're on track or off track with the goals that you've set for your client acquisition activities on a daily basis? I think we can all agree that if you're going to acquire clients, that's going to require you as the trusted advisor to invest time face-to-face or on the phone with potential clients. So what's the goal? How much time? And are you on track or off track to that goal? So if that is happening, then great. That's the outcome of this module. If that's not happening, then you need to request the potential client interaction time module again, so that your administrative manager can protect your time, help ensure that you're prepared in advance. In other words, if you're going to invest a lot of time face-to-face or on the phone with potential clients, there needs to be some preparation time prior to that so that you know who to call and what to call about. Just the idea of eliminating distractions, running interference, and to get things done so that your involvement is less necessary. And there is an element of holding you accountable. So it's this whole section of awareness. Like, is your administrative manager aware of your PCI time and what it should be? And if so, great. If not, then you need to go through this module again. What should not be happening? Well, if you're not adding new clients quickly enough, and or you're not meeting your goals for adding new ideal clients, then you need to go through this module again. If you're not adding ideal clients at a fast enough pace to meet your goals, then you should go through this PCI, potential client interaction time module, I would say twice a year, possibly three times a year, until you get on top of this concept. There's no weekly goal for trusted advisors' potential client interaction time. In other words, if you don't have a goal for the amount of time that you should be investing, that you know that you need to and should be investing face-to-face or on the phone with potential clients, if there's no goal on a weekly basis for that time, then you need to go through this module again. That was the key to this module, is to how to set a goal for that. There's no reporting to the team about whether the trusted advisor's weekly client acquisition goals are being met or not. Okay, so let's say you have a goal of spending a certain amount of time face-to-face or on the phone with potential clients. That's PCI time. So part of effective team accountability is leading from the top. So the trusted advisor needs to hold themselves accountable just as they're holding the team accountable. And one of your primary responsibilities, I would say one of your, you have two priorities. One of them is to serve your clients, and the other is to go out and find new ones. So if the key indicator is PCI time and you have a goal for that, then you should be reporting that time to your team on a weekly basis, whether you did or did not meet your goal. It's not that you expect to meet your goal every week. It's the fact that you're willing to hold yourself accountable to your team for the activity, because you know it's critical. Client acquisition activities often don't occur due to other distractions getting in the way. If that's happening, then you need to consider taking this course again. My administrative manager is unaware of whether I'm on track or off track with my client acquisition goals. If that's true, then you need to take this module again. And finally, my team has no current list of potential clients and therefore are unaware or screen them when they contact us. So imagine that. A potential client calls in and asks for you, and because your team doesn't know who they are, they screen them out. You know, so I'm sorry, who is this and what is this regarding and what's your business with the advisor? Anyway, that's the potential client interaction time module. I recommend going through that again if any of those outcomes are an issue for you. So the role of the administrative manager, these next two modules are good when you're not only hiring an administrative manager, but you need to understand how to inspire your administrative manager to fill the role that you truly need them to fill. So here are all the things that should now be in place after going through this module called the role of the administrative manager. Our administrative manager is fully empowered to lead and coordinate our team. In other words, there's nobody on the team that does not accept the administrative manager as the team coordinator. We are making forward progress implementing truly comprehensive financial services because our administrative manager is an effective project leader, ensuring that we're making weekly progress. Okay, I think this is one of the key elements of this module is that the idea that an administrative manager is not just an assistant. An administrative manager is someone who's capable of managing a project and helping implement this program. You're number two when it comes to implementing all these modules. So your job is to serve clients and to go out and get new ones. And so frankly, as quickly as possible, the idea of getting your administrative manager to, in essence, take over as project leader to help implement these monthly projects, the better. Because an administrative person's skills are administrative, and many of the issues for mastery of these modules are getting kind of an administrative infrastructure into place. And so your administrative manager needs to get on board and be effective in this job. Our administrative, and if not, you need to go back through this. You need to go back through this module again. If your administrative manager is not serving as project leader, you need to go back through this and consider even to the point of making a change. Our administrative manager is proactive. We seldom encounter problems related to client progress meetings that could have been predicted and resolved ahead of time. Certainly, no problem is ever encountered twice. Okay, if that's true, then great. If that's not true, then you should consider going through this module, the role of the administrative manager again. Our administrative manager is an effective communications hub, ensuring that information flows effectively through our team. If that's not happening, then you need to consider going through this module again. And by the way, that's the one thing that usually takes several go-throughs of this module to get this piece in place. It's complicated. And it requires a certain level of mastery to get that fully in place in a way that's going to help you create an organized business that will exceed client expectations. Our administrative manager is the primary point of contact for clients and team members. All information and documents flow through that single person. If that's true, then great. If that's not true, then you and perhaps your administrative manager should go through this module together. Which is another good point. If you've hired an administrative manager since you joined the program, it's a good idea to request this module, this role of the administrative manager again, in order to have your administrative manager go through this either with you or on their own. Our team knows that our administrative manager is empowered to be the team coordinator. All subject matter experts accept and acknowledge them as their primary point of contact. All right. Our team knows that our administrative manager is empowered to be the team coordinator. All information and documents flow through the AM. There is a backup person for every administrative manager responsibility. So when our administrative manager is not in the office, on vacation, or out ill, the administrative manager, everything operates smoothly, whether they're there or not there. If that's not happening, you need to go through this module again, request it, and go through it again. Administrative manager holds everyone accountable for completing and submitting all their work prior to every client progress meeting. If that's not happening, you need to consider going through this module again and potentially with your administrative manager. Our administrative manager is effective at ensuring that everything that should be done prior to every client progress meeting is actually getting done on time. If that's not happening, then it's clear that you need to go through this module again or have your administrative manager go through this module. Our administrative manager is resourceful and is able to urge our team to get everything done using the tools and technologies we currently have available. It's very common for teams to say, oh, I could do all this truly comprehensive financial services if only we had some new and different and cooler tools. A skilled administrative manager will encourage a team to make do with what they've got. It's the skill of the people that will drive referrals, not the cool tools that you have. And these things should not be happening. Our administrative manager is not fully empowered to lead our team. And if that's true, then you need to go through this module again. Our team is not ensuring forward progress of this program and truly not making forward progress with truly comprehensive financial services. How about this? We've had a vacancy on our team of subject matter experts for more than 60 days. If that's true, then you need to go through this module again. Our AM is, proactive. We seldom encounter problems related to client progress meetings. That this is that one where you never encounter problems twice. That takes some work, and that really requires an administrative manager understand their role. So anyway, we've gone through most of this. How about communications? Or we'll end on this module with communications are poor. If that's true, then you need to go through this module again, because this is clearly in the shoes of the administrative manager to make sure that these communications occur and occur efficiently. Follow-ups with clients are not flawless and need improvement. Team members don't get the information they need to do their work most effectively. On our team, the left hand often doesn't know what the right hand's doing, and nobody on our team has been tasked with ensuring that communications are always improving. So if any of this is true, you need to go through this module again, this role of the administrative manager, because these are all things that an effective administrative manager need to be striving towards. And then there's the module for hiring an extraordinary administrative manager. I'm not going to go through this, except to say that if you have an administrative manager who's extraordinary, you don't need this module. And if ever you have a situation where you need to replace an administrative manager, then you can always request this module and we'll send it right out to you so that you have access to this when you need it. And also, if you don't have an extraordinary administrative manager, I recommend using this module, hiring an extraordinary administrative manager, as an assessment tool. Go through the process, this and the role of the administrative manager, and use it as an assessment of your current administrative manager. It's quite possible that your current assistant is maybe a strong clerical person, good with computers, good with your calendar, good with, I don't know, the clients filing, but does not have the strong enough skills to serve in the administrative manager role. So that just simply then becomes a goal. It's a revenue issue. So as soon as you can afford to hire, a proper administrative manager, somebody that can really be your number two and help drive this project administratively, then that person may well keep their job and be limited to what they're doing now. But, I think the idea of having an extraordinary administrative manager is one of the keys it's one of the keys to how quickly you can implement this methodology that we teach you to deliver truly comprehensive financial services in a way that drives an increasing rate of client referrals. So if you have an extraordinary administrative manager, this process is fast and painless. If you have an administrative manager who does not have the proper skill set, then it's just going to take a lot longer. It's going to fall on you to do that. So all that to say this, if and when you need to hire an administrative manager, just let us know through the Contact Us link, and we'll make sure that's the next module that you get. Deliverables team recruitment process. This is the process for filling vacancies on your team of subject matter experts. So if you've been through this, I think this may be the most important module in the first year, this right here. And to the extent that you have a skilled administrative manager, then this process goes very smoothly. So all these things should be in place now that you've gone through this 12-step deliverables team recruitment process module to hire or to invite subject matter experts onto your team. We have a smooth and effective process for locating and then inviting skilled professionals onto our team of 5 subject matter experts. If you don't, and if it's not running smoothly, you definitely need to request this module again. By the way, this module, most advisors who skillfully implement this content report that they've gone through this module more than 4 times. Four or more times. So if you have not gone through and requested this module 4 times, then you're below the average. It's probably unlikely that you've properly implemented this. And I'll tell you, this is one of the most valuable modules in the whole system. Imagine if you and your administrative manager knew how to fill any subject matter expert vacancy on your team in less than 60 days, even if you have zero budget. That's the goal here, and that's the outcome. And if you're not experiencing that, you need to request this module again. I think most of you probably need to request this module again, just judging from the questions and the coaching that I've been doing for people that contact us through this program. Truly comprehensive financial services is easy to implement for our ideal clients. Every deliverables checkpoint has a skilled subject matter expert to it, assigned to it, who is responsible for seeing that every ideal client's financial house is in perfect order. Okay. Truly comprehensive financial services not only becomes possible, but it becomes, I'm going to say, easy to implement when you have no vacancies on your team of subject matter experts. If you have all 5 subject matter experts in place, tax, estate planning, financial planning, money management, and insurance, those are the 5. If you've got experts in those 5 areas, plus you, of course, then implementing truly comprehensive financial services and all the deliverables checkpoints on an annual basis that drives that, is not as hard. I mean, you're relying on experts, and they know their narrow field, so it becomes quite easy at that point. We never have any vacancy on our team of subject matter experts more than 60 days. Every subject matter expert vacancy is always filled in less than 60 days, and I mean, even if you have zero budget. And if that's not, I'm going to stop there with this one. If these things are not true in your business, it's clear you need to request the deliverables team recruitment process module again. Evaluating your deliverables team. So now, once you have a deliverables team of subject matter experts in place, then it sounds crazy. Yes, they know what they're doing, or you would not have invited them onto your team, of course. Let's all assume that you only invite subject matter experts onto your team if they are skilled at what they do. So it's not their technical competence that needs evaluation typically. It's other things. It's other factors. It's their attitude. It's are they signed up for this notion that we're going to exceed client expectations, and we're going to go beyond the technical competence and deliver an extraordinary client experience, because what we're focused on is exceeding client expectations as measured by an increasing referral rate. So this is all going to be new information, even for the most experienced subject matter experts. So it's going to be important to sit down with each subject matter expert frequently to make sure they're on track for the parts of this system that they're unfamiliar with. And that is, you know, why they should lift their finger to invest any additional effort to try harder to exceed a client's expectations. You know, don't you just do what you're supposed to do and wash your hands of it and move on to the next client and the next client meeting? No. So you need to, and let me just make this overarching statement. If your client referrals are not increasing, it's generally because you're not sitting down one-on-one with your evaluating your deliverables team members enough. So here, let's just go through a couple of these and then we'll close. A good deal is a deal that's good for all parties. So the relationship with each subject matter expert is evaluated at least once every 4 months to be certain that it's working well for all parties, that the deal with this subject matter expert is benefiting the clients, the team, and them, the subject matter expert. So attitude is everything with subject matter experts. They are willing to put forth more effort and do things they don't do for their own clients in order to exceed your client's expectations if their attitude is right. And if they're sitting there thinking every time you bring this topic up, if they're sitting there thinking to themselves, yay, I'm overworked and underpaid, and this guy's not paying me, this financial advisor's not paying me enough to work, to think and work harder for each client, you know, then that means that you're not having the conversation frequently enough about whether this deal is beneficial for all, for everyone. And so I can't overestimate the value of sitting down and just letting people talk about their problems and vent any frustrations, and just to have a meeting with you every 4 months where they just say, here are the real issues with this relationship. It might be something you're completely unaware of that's frustrating them regarding another team member, another member of your team. Whatever it is, it's your job as a leader to make sure everybody's inspired and that their attitude is good. And that only happens if you're sitting down frequently enough with these people. The effect and value of each subject matter expert is measured regularly at least 3 times a year. So if you're not sitting down with your subject matter experts at least once every 4 months, that's 3 times every year, then there is almost no chance that they will provide a level of service that will impress your clients enough to increase your client referrals. So having your team full, that's the deliverables team recruitment process module, is key. So having no vacancies is the first critical element. And the next critical element, once you have your team in place, it takes quite a bit of effort on your part as a leader to persuade every subject matter expert that it's worth their best efforts, that your clients are worth their best efforts, so that you know, they can exceed their expectations. I think the dirty little secret is even the most skilled subject matter experts often have no idea how to exceed a client's expectations. I mean, if you were to ask them when you first meet them, you know, are your clients impressed? They would say yes. Are you exceeding your client's expectations? The answer would be yes, out of hand. If you were to say, so how are you exceeding your client expectations? Then the conversation starts to fall apart. If you were to say, what's the evidence that your clients, you know, in your firm, like without me, like your own clients, expectations are being exceeded. So for example, what is your annual referral rate? How many unsolicited client referrals do you receive from your own clients? And, you know, it's very common that skilled subject matter experts, even the most famous people in town, know technically, they're technically proficient. They know how to do what they do, but oftentimes they don't know how to serve on a team. They don't know how to collaborate on a team like yours. And frankly, if they're being candid with you, they don't know how to exceed a client's expectations. And I'm talking about the top people in their profession often don't know how to exceed a client's expectations. And so this is a skill gap for them. And they don't like admitting it, and they don't want to admit it to the group, but they might admit it to you. And I think with you, as a gentle leader, meeting with them frequently, at least every 4 months, looking for evidence. I mean, your question on the table with every one of these is, you know, how are you contributing to exceeding our clients' expectations? And what evidence do we have that our clients' expectations are being exceeded by the work that you're doing? And if we can't find it, then at some point, they've got to admit that this is a skill gap. And then it's at that point that if their attitude's right, they would be willing to put forth quite a bit of substantial amount of extra effort on their own dime to fill that skill gap, because they recognize, as you know, if you're a good leader, they will recognize that this is a skill that if they can master it with the rest of the team, if they can learn how to exceed a client's expectations, this is like the goose that laid the golden egg. They can take this skill back to their own firm and make millions of dollars with that skill. So this is critical. Once you have a team, evaluating your team becomes very important. And if all those elements are not in place where your team is being evaluated every 4 months so that they are putting forth the effort required to exceed your client's expectations, then you need to request this module again, this evaluating your deliverables team, request that module again. Well, that's as far as we got. There are a lot of modules ahead of that. If you have questions about any of these other modules, the 10 client deliverables, parts 1 and 2, those are two modules. The first 104 days of a new client relationship, setting your compensation, the hero's journey and the extraordinary client experience, those two modules begin your journey into exactly what to do to exceed your client's expectations and create an extraordinary experience. And then, voila, the measurement. At this point, you're ready for the annual referral rate and the referability dashboard. At this point, we provide you with a spreadsheet and a dashboard with a few simple entries. You can be tracking, you know, the level at which your clients are. I mean, the whole point is increasing client referrals. So we give you a tool in this module on measuring that. So look them over. If on the ones that you've already accomplished, you need to go back, as most advisors do, to redo and to go through the material again to achieve the next level of mastery, then just contact us and request the past module again. And we'll send it to you next time for your next module. And then looking forward, if there's modules that are critical for you right now, things that you are working on or maybe issues that you're facing right now, and you want to request one of these modules that are in front of you, then just ask for them, and we'll be happy to send it to you next month instead of the module we were going to send you. So, and then after that, it'll go back to the same sequence. But you can, in essence, customize your own curriculum just by, you know, telling us which modules you need in which order. Because if you don't say anything, then we give you the proper sequence of how you should implement this in the proper sequence in order to implement at a level that's going to achieve the outcomes. Just to close this out, I'll give you an example. So understanding the role of the administrative manager means that you then hire a strong enough administrative manager to make sure that there's no vacancies on your team of subject matter experts, because they manage that process. And then you have the 12-step recruitment process to fill every vacancy on your team of subject matter experts, and you fill every single one of those vacancies in less than 60 days. And then once you have that team in place, then you need to begin evaluating them. And then once you evaluate them, they need, you know, what is it that they're supposed to be delivering to the clients? Well, it's these 10 client deliverables. Once you have the team in place, you know, they'll sit down with these 10 client deliverables and map out, you know, hundreds of deliverables checkpoints to back up these 10 client deliverables. Anyway, the point I'm getting at is we give these to you in a sequence, but if you're dealing with an issue and you need something out of sequence, we are certainly happy to do that. So that's it for this session of the Advisor Pack monthly session. If you have any questions, just contact us. We're happy to respond to your questions. And I encourage you to go live. So at any of these monthly sessions, if you show up and you raise your hand, we can unmute you. And I think we have a shy group at the moment who would prefer just to listen. But let me tell you, real learning, real advancement means that you're addressing the challenges that you're actually facing yourself with this material. So I encourage you at every one of these sessions, if you've got an issue that you're dealing with, just look on this webinar platform, raise your hand, and I promise you, I will unmute you and we will live coach you through the problem or the issue, or we will resolve whatever it is you're dealing with. Well, that's it for this month. Until next month, I'm Mark Little. We wish you all the best in implementing.